This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM, streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. We are heading into the noon hour. We have a live update from the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center coming up in a little under a minute. So we'll switch over to that as soon as they start up. And then we'll follow that up with today's midday report and Noon Island Messenger. Right now in Kodiak, it's 58 degrees. It's going to be a pretty nice day, calm wind. We were a little worried that the wind was going to be gusty today, but looks like we'll be all right. Looks like we'll be all right today. But tonight, the rain is going to move in. We got an 80% chance of rain tonight after 10 p.m. South wind, 5 to 10 miles per hour. And it looks like we'll be joining the emergency service operation update in just a moment.
Recording has started.
Good afternoon. Thank you for joining us today, July 23rd, 2020. This is day 129 at the Emergency Operations Center. Let me start by talking about Tuesday night. Tuesday evening at 10:13, the Emergency Operations Center was notified by the National Tsunami Warning Center in Palmer, Alaska, of a 7.4 magnitude earthquake off the Alaska Peninsula. It was soon updated to a 7.8 magnitude quake. The local tsunami sirens were sounded, and Kodiak as a community responded. Tsunami activity was forecasted for Kodiak to occur at 5 minutes past midnight. So we waited anxiously. I would like to acknowledge the information shared by the KMXT and KVOK radio personnel, keeping the public informed and calm. The community responded again in an orderly manner, and I heard of no issues with the evacuation measures that were taken. What we often forget is the message of where to go during a tsunami threat. Of course, the primary location is to stay at home if you're above the 100 elevation mark. If not, proceed to any one of these locations: the Kodiak High School, North Star Elementary, or parking lots at Walmart and Safety are also safe locations. If you live in Bell's Flats, go to higher ground. Avoid going through the inundation zone if you don't have much time. If there's ample time for evacuation, go into one of these other safe locations where you have access to services, especially important in case of a long-term event. Pillar Mountain is not actually recommended. It's definitely higher ground, but there are risks with heavy traffic, especially at night, and there are no support services up there. As we monitored the information shared by the Tsunami Warning Center, the local radio, sometimes it seemed like the information flow wasn't fast enough. However, we ended up with what we all hoped for, which was the all clear. The important message to all is that the Emergency Operations Center received statewide information, updates from communities in the tsunami path, and has access to real-time information not readily available to the general media. In Tuesday night's situation, a message was sent out that Kodiak was all clear. That message was not from the EOC at that time and was confusing. The Emergency Operations Center issued the all clear at 12:42 a.m. after confirmed confirmation the tsunami warning had been canceled by the Tsunami Warning Center and the EOC was able to ascertain roads were clear of fallen rocks. There were no broken water pipes causing any flooding, and it was safe to return home. So please remember next time to wait for the EOC to issue the all clear. So now I'd like to speak a little bit about the virus again. The COVID-19 virus continues to infect and cause loss of life. Total cases in Alaska have risen by more than 25% recently. We see community transmission occurring in almost every business type that involves in-person interaction. Alaskans are acquiring the virus from many types of social gatherings. Backyard barbecues are one avenue, funerals, weddings, sometimes children's sporting events, camps, churches, and any time groups gather with outside their household. So most non-resident cases have been identified before the person had significant community interaction. So most new cases in Alaska are acquired from other Alaskans who have not traveled. Wednesday, the state reported 92 more resident cases with only 2 non-residents. We unfortunately have now 19 deaths in Alaska. Today's count is 65 more resident cases and 3 non-resident cases with 2 additional hospitalizations. Again today, we have public health nurse Elsa DeHart, who will remind us about the proper precautions to avoid the virus and maybe give us a short overview of the 16 reported cases we've had in Kodiak. Elsa?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm Elsa DeHart from the public health. And I wanted to say, you know, that we've had a lot of people who don't think that this virus makes you very sick. But I do want to say that even today, I was listening to some of the information coming out where even young adults who have gotten sick from this, even though they didn't get severely ill, it lingers on for several months, just fatigue and feeling cruddy. And so even though someone may not land up in an ICU, it is still a virus that can really affect people's lives. I know that the big talk these days are kind of about masks and whether they work and they don't work, that kind of thing. And I do, everything about this virus is new. We're learning things every day. And so now we have learned that masks really play an important part in protecting people. Masks, social distancing, washing your hands, those kinds of things are really important. Masks. You know, somebody could say, well, I don't want to wear a mask because I'm not sick. So, you know, if it's mostly to protect somebody else, what the heck? And, you know, the problem is that you don't know if you're sick. You don't know if you've gotten that virus and you're going to get sick 2 days from now when the symptoms kick in, or you may be asymptomatic and spreading that without even knowing it. Even if you were tested today, that might not mean that you're going to be negative tomorrow. You know, you still may need, or the virus won't be detected tomorrow. So you don't know that. So that's one of the reasons that masks are so effective, is because we're stopping that problem. There was an incident in Missouri where 2 hairstylists were, before they got sick, they both got sick, but like 2 days beforehand, they saw 139 clients, but they had to wear their masks, and 98% of their clients were wearing their masks. And there was no spread of the virus. And you look at that compared to places where, you know, 80% of people have been affected by that same sort of situation. That's a real evidence of how these masks work. We don't have exact statistics. I mean, those kinds of really good studies take a really long time. And so we're just working through this as people can. And just, we do know that masks make a difference. Some information, they do simulations of how things spread and work. And one of them saying that if just 80% of people would wear masks, that would actually reduce the transmission of the virus more than a lockdown, which is what we all want to avoid. Nobody wants to be locked down. So that's kind of the biggest deal. So, you know, the other question I get a lot of is about masks is, how often do you wear them? I mean, we all have these nice cloth masks. And you know, they're saying, wash it with your laundry, wash it as often as you do your laundry. You can just throw it in the washer, put it in the dryer, or you can wash them by hand, put a little bleach in the water, as long as it's not gonna wreck the fabric. You can test it out, make sure it's real bleach. Some of these newer bleaches aren't actually bleach and won't kill germs, you know, real bleach. And then you can just either dry it in your dryer, or you could even lay it flat to dry in the sunlight, if we have any, it's even better, that's always good. So that's kind of washing them and take care of them. And just make sure it's completely dry before you start using it again. It won't afford as much protection if it's wet. And then, you know, really just to say there is a lot, little to lose, and there's a lot to be gained with wearing masks. So I really encourage people to do it and do it correctly, you know, up over the nose, wrong sides, under your chin. That's the way it should fit. And face shields, if you really can't handle a mask, are a second option for people. Our 16 cases in Kodiak, we are very lucky, knock on wood, we haven't had a 17th yet. I'm sure it's around the corner, but right now all 16 of our people have been come out of isolation or considered recovered. And so we are happy about that. I think, you know, our median age is around 30-ish, kind of in between, but we've had cases all the way from teens up into the 70s. So it is hitting each portion of our population. But hopefully everybody will wear their masks, keep distance, wash your hands, and stay safe. Thanks.
Thank you again, Elsa. As you heard, wearing masks are clearly a measure in reducing the spread of this nasty virus. 25 states have mandated wearing masks in public or even outside of your home. As we know, several Alaska communities have required wearing masks outside of the home as well, particularly in public spaces. So the Emergency Operations Center has been discussing masks for months. We've distributed over 4,000 now. The Kodiak Arts Council issued 200 masks on Monday between 11:30 and 1 p.m. They will be back again next Monday offering masks at the Gerald C. Auditorium from 11:30 to 1 p.m. So if you still need a mask, they're available for free. We want you to wear them. Please wear your mask. The Emergency Operations Center will be issuing storefront signs to local businesses, reminding customers to wear a mask while shopping. This is to support our local business community, help others to stay healthy, and to send a loud and clear message to our school district that we as a community support the needs of our children's education and to allow them to open as planned. Kodiak, we can do this. If we cannot slow the spread, we will continue to live in this world of what next? Or will we proceed directly to level red? How should we respond to this situation? Should we close stores, bars, hair salons, go back to the hunker down status? Let's stay together and avoid this scenario. Wear your mask, stand apart, and wash your hands. Something so easy, we could almost do that in our sleep. As a united community, we should all be doing this. If you wear a mask in public, you are respecting others and helping to achieve the goal we all have, which is stop the spread. Personally, I'd like to talk a little bit about COVID testing. Out of an abundance of caution, I was tested Tuesday at the East Elementary School testing site. I found it to be rather easy. The staff was professional, and my result came back as a phone call the same day. The nasal swab was a bit ticklish, but it was very gentle. So I'm sharing this for you. Some of you are avoiding testing because of the scary report you may have had. It's really not that bad. To receive a test, call first and you will be scheduled. The numbers are for CANA are 486-9870. CANA is 486-9870 and KCHC is 481-5000. They both test at East Elementary. Might wonder what my test result was. Well, fortunately, it was negative. So it just takes a few minutes. And lastly, we've done incredibly well as a community keeping the virus out of town. We just heard that all of our cases have recovered. No new cases to report today. And let's continue this goal. So remember to mask up, stand back, and wash your hands. We'll be back again next Thursday at noon for our live community update. And thank you all for keeping community strong.
NPR News is brought to you in part by Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. For an appointment or more information, 481-2400.
Well, as you just heard on the report from the Emergency Services Organization here in Kodiak, good news for Kodiak on the coronavirus front. As of yesterday, Kodiak has no active COVID-19 cases for the first time since June 2nd. Elsa DeHart, Kodiak's public health officer, explained.
Everyone really in Kodiak at this point is considered recovered. All of our people have done their isolation. So we're in a pretty good spot for the moment.
Kodiak is the only organized borough in Alaska right now with zero active cases. However, the Prince of Wales census area in Southeast Alaska is also reporting no active cases, according to the state coronavirus dashboard. So far, Kodiak has conducted almost 2,000 tests with just under a 1% positivity rate, and Kodiak is currently at a low or green risk level. Dr. Evan Jones with CANA.
We have been fortunate, and we've been fortunate that most people have been following the mandates. And once again, I got to say, to employers in town who are bringing people in, they've done a pretty darn good job of saying, hey, you got to go get tested before you can start. Hey, you got to quarantine for a week. How are we going to make this happen?
But that doesn't mean Kodiak should get complacent. Over 1,700 people in Alaska are known to be infected right now. The state overall has seen exponential growth in the number of cases this summer in metropolitan areas and in the seafood industry. As DeHart notes.
And we do know, I mean, the biggest thing about this virus is that it is so transmissible. It's so contagious. It's much more contagious than other viruses such as the flu.
Despite the low numbers in Kodiak, public health officials, as you just heard, emphasized masks and social distancing are doing their jobs and do not let up. Due to a lag in COVID-19 testing, the state has issued a health alert. The State Department of Health and Social Services just this morning has put out this written warning that a considerable increase in COVID-19 infections throughout Alaska has delayed the ability of public health workers to connect individually with all those testing positive, as well as their close contacts in a timely manner. The department has also asked that healthcare providers tell symptomatic patients to stay home and self-isolate until they get their test result. It says providers who order COVID-19 tests should make sure that they have a process in place to notify patients as quickly as possible. Also, patients who test positive should be instructed to remain in isolation for at least 10 full days in accordance with CDC guidelines. The state of Alaska announced Wednesday evening that over a third of employees at a seafood processing plant in Seward have tested positive for COVID-19. The plant is owned by OB Seafoods, the new company formed by the merger of Ocean Beauty and Icicle Seafood Companies. The Department of Health and Social Services reported that 96% of the plant's 262 employees were positive for COVID-19 after being tested this week. The infections were stumbled upon when a single OB employee went to Providence Seward Medical Center on Sunday for an unrelated health issue and was given a test for coronavirus. According to DHSS, when the test came back positive, OB Seafoods and the Seward Community Health Center tested all employees of the plant and implemented isolation protocols. This week's late-night tsunami warning prompted many residents of Kodiak to load up their emergency supplies and seek higher ground. The Kodiak Emergency Operations Center keeps a list of emergency supplies recommended by FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, on its website. The list includes items like prescription medications, first aid kits, sleeping bags, and even books and games for kids. But with that emergency occurring during a global pandemic, one thing not on the list, masks.
Well, you know, from the hospital standpoint, we had individuals in our parking lot, and I saw a lot of people without masks. But at least there was a nice breeze blowing, you're outside, so that's a positive factor. But it's also, you know, concerning that I'm not seeing as many people as I would like wearing a mask.
That was Dr. Steve Smith, an ER doctor with Providence Kodiak Island Medical Center. He says now is a good time for people to update their emergency supply kits.
Things you have to think about in your emergency preparedness kit now is maybe add a mask in.
With hundreds of people gathering at evacuation points such as Kodiak High School, Dr. Jones with CANA is concerned with social distancing during an evacuation.
But if we were to have a natural disaster where people suddenly we're having to house people, we'd have to rethink the way we were planning on doing things and figure out how to distribute those people a little more and spread them out into family groups rather than congregating in one place. Hmm.
And while evacuating a family to high ground can be stressful, there's one thing that Dr. Smith said that might enjoy such spontaneous large gatherings, COVID-19.
It would be a really advantageous for the coronavirus, but not us, if everybody was together like that.
And the Tustamina Ferry is back to being the trusty Tusty. It made sail into Kodiak twice this week, so far on Monday and this morning. Mechanical problems and cancellations due to an outbreak of COVID-19 on the crew has wreaked havoc with this summer schedule, but things are still not back to normal. The Tusty has a backlog of passengers and vehicles, and Amanda Becker, the ferry agent in Kodiak, says in some cases people weren't able to travel with their vehicles, and while it might look like their space, there are other considerations. And finally, Bristol Bay salmon processors are starting to post base prices, and this year's price is just over half the base price last year of $1.35. Fishermen have confirmed that Trident Seafoods, Red Salmon, North Pacific Seafoods, Obi Seafoods, and Peter Pan Seafoods have posted a base price of 70 cents per pound for sockeye. Trident fishermen also confirmed bonuses of 15 cents for RSW, 5 cents for bleeding, and 5 cents for chilling. Alex is a captain from Wasilla who fishes for Peter Pan Seafoods. He declined to give his last name, and he's extremely disappointed with this season's prices.
Well, it's ridiculous because it's not worth it at all, because I'm putting all this money in. I'm leasing a permit just for $20,000, and that's another $10,000 for the boat, and then the stuff that I pay for renting the storage, and then taxes for gear and all this other stuff. And then what happens is we get 70 cents, so I go home, I can make more money on unemployment.
Alex says the low base price means it's not worth investing more into the fishery. He plans to sell his boat.
I see the season that I could have worked at home, very mild sleep, and be with my kids, my wife, and make the same. Here, I only slept for an hour or 30 minutes, and boys are working their butts off, and we get that, and it just doesn't make, it's not worth it.
Heading into the salmon season, seafood market analysts said that a combination of COVID-19-related factors could drop the base price for sockeye this year. Those factors include increased processor costs because of virus mitigation plans and shrinking restaurant demand.
Support for KMXT's Midday Report is provided by Artinger's Fine Furnishings, featuring children's clothing from the Tea Collection, home spa items from Crabtree and Evelyn, and leather handbags by Dooney and Burke. Special orders of the Tea Collection clothing in your child's size always welcome at Artinger's. 486-5554.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. More Alaska seafood is headed to food banks. More after this.
Did you know that eating wild and sustainable Alaska seafood can boost your immune system? Learn more about Alaska seafood's many proven nutritional benefits at wildalaskaseafood.com.
Salmon and halibut, taken as bycatch by trawlers, will continue to feed hungry Americans and Alaskans. Federal permits were renewed for the nonprofit SeaShare to take the bycatch that by law would have to be discarded and instead distribute it to the nation's food banks. Jim Harmon is SeaShare director.
Every 3 years, it has to be authorized. And we submit a new list of boats that participate and a new list of shore plants that participate and a new list of food banks that participate. So it's been a good program for years. We've generated over 6.5 million pounds in the last 25 years, and that equates to 26 million servings.
The Bycatch to Food Banks program began 25 years ago in the Bering Sea and expanded to the Gulf a decade later. It now includes 136 boats, 12 shoreside processors, 34 catcher processors, and 3 motherships. Harmon says long-standing partnerships get the goods from the docks to needy Americans.
The donations that the fishermen make and the processors make enable us to bring in other donations of freight, cold storage, packaging, processing.
Harmon says lost jobs stemming from the COVID pandemic has pushed up demand at food banks to unprecedented levels.
The clients that go to food banks has doubled this year. I think it's 22% of Americans are accessing food banks, and that's unprecedented. That's an incredible need. Thankfully, we've distributed over 5 million servings in the first 6 months. But now we're trying to backfill that and find out where the next million servings is going to come from.
There are many ways to help, Harmon says, get healthy fish to hungry Americans.
If you do have something to give, whether it's seafood or whether it's dollars or services, please log on to seashare.org and click on donate, and we'll make sure that your donation is maximized to the fullest extent possible.
Find links at alaskafishradio.com.
Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods, serving Alaska's fishing communities since 1910. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
All right, it's 59 degrees in Kodiak right now. It's going to be a beautiful day. Partly cloudy skies, northeast wind 3 miles an hour. Tonight, though, the rain is moving in after 10 o'clock with a low around 54. South wind 5 to 10 miles per hour. Chance of rain is 80%. Tomorrow, rain's going to continue before 7 a.m. and then maybe taper off a little bit. High near 63. South wind around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the morning. And the chance of precipitation is 80%. And it looks like the rain's going to continue all weekend. Maybe clear up on Monday. If you're heading up to the mainland, let's see, in Homer right now, it's 60 degrees. Mostly sunny skies, becoming overcast this afternoon, high of 61. Tonight, 20% chance of rain with a low of 53. And in Anchorage right now, 63 degrees. Sunny skies, high of 69. Winds west-southwest at 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tonight, a low of 54 in Anchorage with a 10% chance of rain. Winds from the south-southwest of 5 to 10 miles per hour. Well, today is Thursday, the 23rd of July. The sun rose at 5:46 a.m. and it'll set tonight at 10:45 p.m., giving us about 16 hours and 56 minutes of daylight. We will have lost 3 minutes and 46 seconds of daylight, but the sun's going to rise tomorrow at 5:48 a.m. Record high was 81 in 1967, and record low was 42 in 1937. Marine forecast. We got a 1,007 millibar low in the eastern Gulf is going to be moving inland Thursday night, hence all this rain. A 1,006 millibar low that is 65 nautical miles south of Homer Friday afternoon is pretty much going to hang around through Saturday morning. For the west of Barron Islands, including Kamishak Bay, there's a small craft advisory today with a west wind of 30 knots, becoming southwest of 15 knots in the afternoon. Seas at 9 feet, subsiding to 6 feet in the afternoon. For Barron Islands East, small craft advisory today with a northwest wind of 30 knots, becoming southwest of 20 knots in the afternoon. Seas at 12 feet, subsiding to 7 feet. For Marmot Island to Sitkanak today, west wind of 20 knots with seas at 5 feet, but there's a small craft advisory tomorrow with a southwest wind of 25 knots and seas at 7 feet. For the Shelikof Strait, small craft advisory tomorrow also. Right now there's a southwest wind of 20 knots with seas at 7 feet. But tomorrow with the advisory, southwest wind of 25 knots with seas at 8 feet. Let's see. For our tides in the Kodiak District, we've got a high tide coming up at 5:15 p.m. of 7.76 feet. And a low tide tonight at 10:46 p.m. of 1.55 feet. And over on the west side in Neuganic Bay, high tide this evening at 5:35 p.m. of 15.29 feet. And a low tide tonight at 11:31 p.m. of 1.06 feet. Well, with the long emergency service operations message, we don't have time for the fishing game message, but it's an old one. But if you want to listen to it, you can give them a call at 486-4559. We have a couple of seconds for some community announcements. There's a Kodiak City Council meeting, regular meeting tonight at 7:30 in the Borough Assembly Chambers. You can listen to it right here on KMXT 100.1 starting at 7:30. At the library today at 6 o'clock, the library will host a Zoom Room trivia game. It's a fun way to socially distance and stretch your memory bank. You can be anywhere with an internet connection to play, and the more, the merrier. Just give Lori a contact at 486-8688. And if you're thinking about running for office, I think that deadline's coming up, August 1st. They're nominating petitions for 2 3-year city council seats are available in the city clerk's office. You can give them a call at 486-8636. And in the borough assembly, there are 3 seats up for election. These are 3-year terms, 2 seats in the School of Board Education. And so, yeah, the filing period begins at August 1st. And ends, it looks like, August 17th.